Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
We've been talking about peace and conflict and relationships. And, you know, governing our lives in a way so we can be relational and be attractive to the world, that they will want what we have. You see that? And peace is a precious, I mean, it's a precious thing that people, a lot of people don't have peace. There's a lot of anxiety in our world. A lot of chaos and confusion in this world. So when you have peace, you stand out. So peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is the presence of a person. His name is Jesus. Jesus said, in me you'll have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, trouble. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. My peace I give to you. My peace I leave unto you. His peace is supernatural. You see that? There's a distinction. It's not what the world says peace is having all this stuff, or no. Peace is having Jesus in your life and you yielding to him and what following him. That's what true peace is. Peace means nothing missing, nothing broken. That's what the word peace means in Hebrew. Nothing miss. In other words, your life is whole. You're protected in life. That means your life is protected. When Nehemiah rebuilt Jerusalem, Jerusalem means city of peace. When Nehemiah rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, they were inside the walls worshiping while they were being attacked. They didn't even know they were being attacked because the walls had been restored and there was nothing missing and nothing broken. And the peace was protecting them of all the wars and all the stuff going on outside of them. You see, when I'm filled with peace, I'm not touchy. I don't get upset easy. I don't react off the top of my head. When I'm filled with peace, I have God's presence. You see that? So that's the whole idea. We want to begin to grow and understand this peace. Isn't that something that it's in our vision? And that's what we're trying to, all of us, we need the Holy Spirit to get to this peace. Let's look at this next one. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Okay. So peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is the presence of someone, Jesus. There's conflict everywhere. There's always been conflict since we can remember. But when Adam and Eve were created, there was perfect peace. There was no conflict. When Satan came in the garden and they disobeyed God, broke fellowship with God, and that's where conflict started. So this is what we want to grow and understand, is how to deal with conflict and how to deal in our relationships, be relational. So we want our relationships to work. This is working relationships. This is, you know, school relationships. This is a husband and wife. But we've been really holding the husband and wife up because that's really where it should begin, is at home and in the marriage. So we're going to look at this. Go with me to Genesis 1:27-28. Now let's look at this. So God created man in his own image. And in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So you have male and female. Right about it? Woman, man. Boy, girl. There's no in between. You got a woman and a man, or a man and a woman, right? No trans. God creates male and female, woman and man. So it's important to understand that. So he's very clear on that. As believers, this is what we live by. This is God's word, This is not our idea. This is God's word. This is what you were created to live by. The Bible is the source of life, is how to live your life. See that? There's one book you should be reading. It's the Bible and understanding it. Now watch this. Give me the next one. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now think about this. Then God blessed them. This word bless is the Hebrew word asher, A-S-R-E. It's a Hebrew word. And it means emotionally wealthy. So this is the beginning that God created Adam and Eve emotionally wealthy. See that? And then in Proverbs 27:7 says, a satisfied soul loathes the honeycomb. So when the soul is satisfied, you can reject sweet stuff if you don't want it. You can just, no big deal. You see that? Because you're satisfied. Ultimately, what he's saying, a satisfied soul should be satisfied with God and what he's showing you and what he's allowing into your life. You see that? And so that's the idea. And when you have two people, now this is your emotions. It says in Psalms 1, blessed, same word, asher. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, his word. And in his word he meditates day and night. For he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf will not wither, and whatever he does, prosper. So if you're going to prosper and increase, you got to get a hold of your emotions. Oh, you can have increase. You can have a big house. You can have all that. You can have the newest cars. You can have all that. Full bank account and be miserable. And your kids never want anything you have to do with Jesus. Am I making sense? Because you can produce something that's not from God. You see this? But if God's in it, he said, be fruitful and multiply. Fruitful comes first. You got to produce fruit. The fruit's from God. The multiplication comes after the fruit. Who's the fruit for? Other people. You're supposed to be producing fruit for other people. You see that? Who? Your children? Your family? Your neighbors? People at school? People in church? I'm supposed to be producing something that adds to other people's lives. Am I making sense? Be fruitful and multiply. It has to be produced. Fruit has to be produced first. Like Jesus said in John 15, I would that you would bear much fruit. This is how you're going to know that they are my disciples, by the fruit they bear. God wants you to produce fruit. Okay? So now, if we're going to be blessed, we have to have our emotions under God's government, under God's kingdom. And this is where people get married and they don't understand. They don't understand this about marriage. Marriage is created and designed for the agape love. The agape love, the supernatural, unconditional love. And so they get married. Oh, you look nice. Oh, hey, baby. You're looking good today. That don't last. Huh? You see, the only way you're going to stay together for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, and richer and poorer, it's if you connect emotionally. You see this? And God will bless your union. He'll bless it. And you know what? He'll make it paradise. I'm gonna tell you what, this is one of the best messages you've ever heard if you hang around here. Now watch this. Go with me to Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Look what it says. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. See that? A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. I'm going to show you something I bet a lot of you have never seen before. This was written before Adam and Eve fell from grace. You see that? Adam and Eve didn't have a mother and a father. They didn't have an umbilical cord. When God created Eve, he took Adam's rib out and created them. Why? Because he's God. Now listen, but now he's telling, this is how it's going to be. You're going to leave your father and you're going to cleave to your wife. And they shall become one. One there means unity. You see this? This is where all the mother-in-law jokes come from. All the negativity about in-laws and stuff. You see this? It's about you and your husband. And the marriage. The marriage always comes first. Above your children, above everyone. The marriage comes first. If you're thinking about getting married, you don't, and you're a girl, don't allow that man to touch you physically. I mean, having sex. Because that's man's biggest need. It's one of his, he needs respect and he needs sex. For marriage. It has to be in marriage. You see that? So don't give in to your man because he's telling you, oh, you don't love me because you, no, you don't love me because you're not respecting me. If that man will have sex with you and he doesn't want to put a ring on your finger and a license and be committed. You see? It takes commitment. If you want God's blessing on your life, that's the way you have to go. If you don't, you'll end up miserable and you'll be upset and frustrated the rest of your life. You see, because you can't meet your own needs. You can't meet your own needs. I can't meet my own needs. I need somebody else in my life. I need a woman. If my needs are going to be met, if you're a woman, you need a man to help you with your needs. And so as you get together in marriage and you develop that, paradise starts to take place. You can't wait to get home. You just hold on now. This is going to make sense. And this is about relationships. Get a hold of this. We can't meet our own needs. How many of you grew up in a family where one of the parents dominated? Raise your hand to be honest with me. Majority of the people in here. That's not healthy. Where one of the parents is dominating, that's not a healthy thing. When the one that's trying to dominate is trying to train them how to serve them, not Jesus. We're supposed to serve Jesus by serving them. See, when you dominate, when you try to dominate, you're controlling and manipulating. When you dominate, you're doing what you want. You see that? And in 1 Samuel 15, it says that's witchcraft. So you're trying to control and dominate. That's literally a witchcraft. That's not from God. God is not involved in that. So you're always going to be at odds and always have these problems in your life and bring conflict in your life. Because you're not honoring what God has said. We making sense? Come on, are we? So we don't want to try to dominate. You're never to control people. Never. That's why the last verse in this in the verse we start out, self-control. Self-control is what God is trying to show you. You're supposed to get a hold of your own appetites and your own desires and get a hold of God's assignment. See, that's what I'm declaring this year. I want alignment with my assignment. I told Donita she was going to work this week. And I said, you know, we have an assignment. When you go to work, you're on an assignment. People are watching every move you make. They're looking at everything you do. You're on an assignment. It's not about how you feel. You see what I mean? The mood you're in, you get on that assignment. When we're assignment-minded, it helps you. I'm on an assignment. To raise my children, to love my husband and my wife the way God has called me to. You see that? When you're on an assignment, it changes it. It's not about your feelings and your emotions. It's your assignment. See this? And then you'll start, the emotional thing will start to line up when you get two people on an assignment. Now, give me Luke 22, 24. What is the number one enemy? What causes conflict? Is selfishness, self-centeredness. You got to get rid of that thinking. That's not healthy. It's healthy to be about other people. That's your whole assignment. is to produce fruit for others. When you're doing that, woohoo, life is good. You see this? You start to enjoy life because you're producing something that others enjoy. Am I making sense? Stay with me. Luke, now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. You know, you're supposed to do great things, not just good. You and I are supposed to do great things, not just good. If we settle for good, we're settling for a lot less than what we were created for. You're supposed to be great. That doesn't mean you go around and tell everybody how great you are. No, that means you're doing great things. You see that? You're great in God's kingdom. You have influence and impact in other people's life because you're doing something great. He says you're supposed to do things greater than John the Baptist. He said the least in the kingdom will do greater than John the Baptist. Jesus said, you will do greater works than I. We're supposed to be doing greater things than what Jesus did. You and me. Now pay attention. Now there was also dispute among them as to which them should be considered the greatest. Give me the next one. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. You know, when somebody's in an authority position, you don't have to tell them, I'm the boss. What if I come up here and start on Sunday? I'm the boss here. I'm the boss. You can come back next week, wouldn't you? No, you wouldn't. That right there, if you got to tell people you're the boss, if you got to tell people you're in charge, see what? People know who's in charge. You know how they know? By the way they serve other people. They don't even have to say anything. It's how you're serving people. Look at this. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is the greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he what? Serves. You govern your life by serving other people. This is the kingdom. This is Jesus talking, the one we're following. Give me the next one. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? It is not he who sits at the table, yet I am among you as the one who serves. Jesus is serving them at the table. He's letting them know he's the greatest one. Are you hearing this? He didn't tell them. He just helping them understand. It's a principle. Making sense? That's the same way it is in your family. Your husband wants to be where he's served. You want to be where you're served. Am I making sense? That's the way we're supposed to live. This is God's will and his ways. When you understand this, you'll change the way you serve your wife. You should be serving her, and she should be serving you. Men need respect, and men need sex. Well, now up in church, yes, because you have to understand a man's needs. But in marriage and marriage only. Because if a man wants to have sex outside of marriage, he's not honoring God, he's not committed, and he doesn't want to do God's will. He's doing his own deal. And that's what he'll ending up with the rest of his life. He's doing his own deal. Well, that's a little bit tough around here. Well, I'm telling you what, is it time to get tough? Yes. Is it time to get tough? Amen. So, woman needs security. She feels secure when you're submitting to her. I know there's times I don't feel like opening the door. There's times I don't feel like getting their coat. That's when you do it. You do it when you don't feel like it. You hear me? And it helps them feel secure. Remember, we want to be assignment-minded. We're here on assignment to help others advance and get into the kingdom of God. Am I making sense? Give me James 4:1 real quick. James 4:1, okay. We should probably go back to that one. Did we read that last one? I'm going to read that last one. Give me the 22:7, okay. The one we were just at. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? It is not he who sits at the table, yet I am among you as the one who serves. Who's the great one? The one who's serving. This is God's principle for life. Now think about this. Okay, now go to the James. Where do wars and fights come among you? Do they not come from your desires for your pleasure, that war in your members? The war is inside of you because of what you want, when you want it, and how you want it. That's where the war is. Now God's given you that person or put that person on your job to help develop that in you. When you're dependent on God, you're going to change the way you treat that person. Love your enemies? How are you going to love your enemies? Because you're dependent on God and you want to get along with people. God says, if you can't get along with people, you're not going to be in relationship with me. If you hate people, you can't be in relationship with me. Did you hear that? You cannot hate people and love God. God is love. He created you for love, unconditional. Now look, so when I am upset inside, it's me. Who's got to change? Listen, nothing changes until your love exceeds your fears. Nothing changes until your love exceeds your fears and your doubts. Perfect love casts out all fear. Faith works through love, agape love. You see that? Are we making sense today, guys? Our greatest need is love. Everybody on the planet was created with that because they were created by love. Everybody's greatest need is love, agape. Everybody's greatest fear is rejection, the antithesis of love. So that's why we got to grow in the love of God. And then we won't worry about who's rejecting us. We become secure in the love of God. That's why in Psalms 91 it says, because you've set your love on me, says the Lord, I will deliver you. I will set you on high because you have known my name. When you call on me, I will answer. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you with long life. I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. Why? Because your love is set on God. The little word set, S-E-T, means to restore to a proper position. My love is in a proper position when it's set on God. You see that? Now God gets involved in your life because you got something going on. And now your relationships can begin to get healthier. But God always uses people to develop your relationships. Okay? Now look at this. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 through 4. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, the word fear is the word honor and respect. When you honor and respect your husband and you do it submissively, it's going to affect them. You're going to make them feel like a king. See, this is the opposite of the world. Well, you don't know who I live with. It doesn't matter who you live with. What matters is if you start to do this, something's going to change. If nothing else, you will. Now watch. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. In other words, it can't be outwardly. You can't just be all pretty. You got to, you know, attraction is important. You know, that's important. You know, to be attracted to the person. But that's only a small beginning to be attracted to somebody. You know, now you need to be emotionally connected so you can really make this thing work. Because if it's just attraction, it won't work. You'll end up getting them married and it won't work. How do you know? I've been doing this for over 23 years. And I've had everything in my office. I've seen it over and over and over. But when I see two people come into agreement, two people applying this word, it works. And you know what, men? You better do. You better shape up because it's on you and me. We need to fulfill his will in our life. If you want your children, your grandchildren, if you want to be effective in God's kingdom, start serving. Start serving your wife. If you're single, start serving in the church. Get back here in the nursery. Boy, that'd develop something. Huh? If you're single, yeah. Start serving. Don't let any of this beat you up. Because God's working. He's calling you. This is so good. Hold still. Now, with the corruptible beauty of the gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Okay, now give me verse 7. See, this is all in context of the marriage. This is chapter 3 in 1 Peter. You want to treat your husband better than he deserves. But husband, you want to treat your wives better than the wife deserves. Come on, women. That's right. Okay. Now look at this. Husbands likewise dwell with them with what? Understanding. What do we say here all the time? And all you're getting, get understanding. Now look. Giving honor, respect, to the wife as to the weaker vessel. But God is saying weaker means she needs some help. All right, look at it. Look. As to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Men, God can't even answer your prayers if you're not respecting and honoring your wife. If you're mistreating your wife, he cannot answer your prayers. And he won't. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? Because folks, it's big. Now give me the next one. Give me verse 9. Finally, all of you be of one mind. There's that unity. Remember Psalms 133? Where there's unity, God commands the blessing. And then he ends that psalm with life forevermore. That's the God kind of life. Now look, let's look at this next one. Verse 9. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. You're supposed to return blessing. You're supposed to do the opposite of what's being done to you. This is how you defeat a demon. This is how you overcome evil in your life. You do the opposite that's being done to you. If someone comes at you in anger and loud and screaming and mad at your life, you take it down. It says a soft answer turns away wrath. You take it down. If someone is doing things to begin to serve them, and I'm going to tell you what, you'll watch God work in your life. Serve them. If you wonder why your wife or your husband doesn't want to, start serving them. Because you go to church, it ought to make things better. It ought to show that you're serving better at home. Your wife or your husband will show up when you start serving. Am I making sense? They both got to be believers. Now, pay attention. Now, look at this. But on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called. You're called to this. You're called to give people back better than they give you. All of us. Now, look. Called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. You see that? If you wonder why this thing isn't working, you're not paying attention. Because if you start to work it the way he says, if you work the word, he's going to show you your salvation. Because your love is going to be set on him. Now look at this. Give me Matthew 23:11 real quick. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. Jesus is coming. He's going to come. You know the first thing he's going to do? He's going to serve you. He washed the disciples' feet. He was always serving. He's going to serve you.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.